Today we have the privilege of hearing from Brad Johnson. Gary Burton will be presenting what he experienced, and I think this is the first time Brad has ever heard it.
Well, thank you all for coming out tonight. I appreciate you doing that. My indie happened when I was 18 years old. I'm now 63. It's just as fresh in my mind today as it was when it first happened. It doesn't fade like a dream or anything like that. I was sitting around with my friends after some pretty heavy partying, and I had taken 10 25 milligram Valiums that I took out of my grandfather's medicine cabinet, and I was young and foolish. And eventually I got up from the couch and I started walking, and I got maybe about two steps in, and all of a sudden I heard this whooshing noise. It kind of went, I'm going to try and impersonate this. It sounded like shoo, and then before I was even on the ground, I was in this darkness. And I looked off into the distance, and I saw this colorful tunnel. And I said, oh, it's coming to me. What is that? Then I realized, oh, it's not coming to me. I'm going to it. And I thought to myself, is this some kind of a drug trip? Instant answer, no. And I knew it was true. I thought, who is that? And then I looked down, and I noticed I didn't have a body. And before fear could even set in, like, why am I not falling? I felt these arms go around me. I said, who's that? And the voice said, it's God. And I knew it was true. And it wasn't like, hey, you got any idea? And when he speaks, it's, you know, it's true. And it's hard to explain to somebody if you've never had one of these experiences, but I knew it was true. And I remember smelling bread, which made me think of home. And then I looked around and I thought to myself, and here's this tunnel, and I'm getting up closer to it, and I thought to myself, this is who I really am. This is my real home. I'm from here. I knew I was from this place, and I remembered it. So how could that be? When I felt those arms go around me, I just felt like a little baby in my mother's arms, totally protected. I remember when he was holding me, and I say he because the voice sounded male, I just lulled away, and I believe he had some deep, deep conversations with me and did a lot of other things that he will not let me remember in that little situation right there. The next thing I realized, I was back in the tunnel after he held me, and I started observing the tunnel, and I started looking at the architecture of it. What's this tunnel made out of? And it's made out of all these little rectangular blocks, the whole thing. And every color you can possibly imagine. And I remember I looked off to my left and I saw all this darkness. And I thought to myself, evil is so far away. It's not even here. I looked over to my right and I saw almost kind of starry, purplish, white, starry type things going on. And I felt like there was other souls over there. Even souls of animals. And I suddenly started thinking, okay, I know everything. I know about the past. I know about the present. I know about the future. I know about not just the universe, but universes. I knew about dimensions. And it wasn't even a struggle to know any of this stuff. Then I thought, okay, I'm going to start really looking at this tunnel. I looked down at the right part of the tunnel, and I concentrated on this one block. I just looked at it, and I knew these blocks were alive. And I looked at this block, and all of a sudden, this white smoke just started coming up. And I go, what is that? And it hit me. And as soon as it hit me, pure knowledge just coming at me like this, the speed of light, and going faster and faster and faster. And I wasn't like going, hey, slow down, you know, I need to take some notes. You know, nothing like that. I could understand every aspect of it, just pure knowledge. And the next thing I know is like, I know everything, which I don't now because I'm in my avatar. But in the spirit form, you do know everything. You know everything, and you feel like a god. Next thing I know is I'm sucked into that little block in my tunnel. I didn't even go to the middle of the tunnel. I just went into part of the tunnel and into this block. I went into this block, and I'm in a whole new world. And I'm flying with my friends, who I can't see, but they're there. But I also know they're my best friends, my best spiritual friends, who don't even live on Earth. But they were my best friends. And we're flying along, and I'm looking about all the mountains and the blue skies and the rolling hills, and it's so beautiful. And I look and I go, we are fully protected. Nothing can hurt us. God is with us no matter where we go in heaven. God is with us. And I looked about and I thought, this is God's face. It's everything you see, everything in heaven. It's everything that is his face, if you want to call that a face. He just is, and he's everything. And there was these buildings where all those clouds and the mountains were. There was these two buildings. And I looked down at the bottom of the buildings, and the buildings kind of disappeared into clouds. And I started looking at these buildings, and they had these little rectangular windows, just like my tunnel. And I started looking at them, and I realized in each one of those little rectangular windows, there was something going on in somebody's life, somewhere on a planet or I don't know where, just all different types. And then I looked at this one. I saw a mother telling her kids to get to bed. It was pretty interesting. And then, next thing I know is I'm back in my tunnel. And suddenly the tunnel starts reversing itself. I'm going the opposite way. And all of a sudden I hear this sound again. And then, boom, here I am. I'm back in this world. And my friend, who's a paramedic, I had two friends with me. One of them is a paramedic. And he was right above me. And he was like this. And then I opened up my eyes and he went, whew. And I said, what's going on? He says, you've been dead. I go, dead? I never felt so alive in all my life. No, he says, you've been dead for 2 minutes. You turned blue. He says, I was getting ready. You had no pulse. He says, you have been dead for 2 minutes. He says, I was getting ready to perform CPR on you. But before he can even perform CPR on me, God sent me back. So my friend didn't even have to do it. And God has that power. He can just send you back. My other friend said, you know, I've heard of people who have died and they saw a tunnel. He says, but I never heard of anybody who went like beyond the tunnel or... Because I explained to him my experience. He said, I've never heard anything like that. And I said, I don't know what this is. All I know is that where I was real, more real than here. This is like a negative compared to a colorful photograph. And the unconditional love, man, sometimes it almost brings me to tears just to think about it. But the unconditional love, you think about the strongest love you have for anybody here on this earth. The love there, a millionfold. I just didn't know how to really handle it. Nobody knew about NDEs back in 1973. It was later on that I started reading a book, a compilation of NDE experiences by this Dr. Raymond Moody. And I'm reading through this book and I'm going, you got to be kidding. And I'm reading all these and I go, I'm not the only one. Thank God. And I realized I really did have a near-death experience. I never spoke to anybody about it because I figured they'd think I was crazy. Because it does sound pretty crazy. The only person I told was my dad. He says, oh, you're on drugs. I said, Dad, if I was on drugs, give it to me now because there is nothing in this world that is like that at all. Wasn't a dream because dreams fade. And they're not crystal clear and you don't feel the unconditional love. And you don't have conversations with God like this. It was just so real to me. And I just told my dad, Dad, it really doesn't matter if you believe me or not. I know it's true. Then later on, I read this book by Betty J. Eddy. And I'm going, you got to be kidding, her too. And then I read this one by Daniel Brinkley. And I go, oh my gosh, there's lots of these. I thought there's maybe just a few of us, you know, but there's like millions of us out there. And I'm going, oh great, now I know for sure what was going on. And it's helped me through life. The guy was best man at my first wedding. I met him when I was 20 years old. And just 2 nights ago, he heard that I had a near-death experience. He says, I never even knew you had that. I was your best friend. How come you never said anything to me? I said, because I didn't want you to think I was crazy. And he says, well, if you had told me, I would have probably thought the same thing. Of course, he doesn't believe that now. He's a Christian. And it's helped me through my life. I think that if I had never had my near-death experience, I don't even know if I'd be here today. Now, here's the kicker. I was an atheist. And then I had my experience. I came back, no longer an atheist. Turn me around like that. It's so real and so beautiful and very enlightening, but it has helped me through life. I'm not afraid of death. I may fear the way I'm going to die, But I'm not afraid of death itself, because I know once I go there, it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. And I know there's probably a lot of people in the audience who have had near-death experiences, but you're afraid of speaking. Maybe more afraid of speaking than you are of dying. I'd like to encourage you to try and get past that. Maybe even pray to see if you can do it. But I think you can do. Once you get up here and you start talking, it's actually pretty nice. So I'd like to encourage a lot of you guys out there who maybe have had these experiences to maybe, you know, consider that. Face that fear. I think there's a lot of people out here who would probably love to know your experiences as well. I've had people say, well, did you see Jesus? I was with God. And, of course, you can't see God's face because he really doesn't have a face. And probably within the last few months, I've actually come to the realization, actually within the last year, I came to the realization after having conversations with some friends and whatnot, I realized actually who Jesus actually is. And Jesus actually is God. And what he is, he's the manifestation of God in a way that you can understand him. So you have a face to relate to. It's like a part of him. We call him the Son of God, and that's how you could probably say that. I feel that he's actually just, he's an extension of God. So we have a face that we can actually relate to. I know a lot of you probably maybe think differently, and that's okay. It was a great experience. That's pretty much it. You know, I don't know if you guys have any questions or anything like that. I'll be more than happy to answer. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Burton.
First of all, Brad and I, we had a great experience working together. And I never heard his story until he put it on Facebook. And as I read it, I had the same experience. And this has happened in 2005 in Idaho. I had to have three surgeries within 8 days. I have a disease called Crohn's disease, and I don't know if many people have heard of that, but the first operation they did was very simple. Second surgery, they went in and did a resection of my intestine, and some bowel had leaked into my stomach, so they had to wash me all out. I just started recovering from that surgery when Wednesday morning I had a blood test drawn. Doctor came in that day about 2 o'clock and says, you got an infection. And I says, what kind of infection? He says, I have no idea. But he says, your white blood count went skyrocketing off the charts. And he says, we got to figure it out. Thursday morning, I went through random test. Friday morning, I went through random test. Saturday afternoon, about 2 o'clock, the doctor came into my room. And I was married at the time with my first wife and my 2 kids. As they were in the room with me, doctor says, it's your gallbladder. We're performing emergency surgery tonight at about 10:30. During that surgery is when I died. Surgery's supposed to take 1.5 hours. Mine took 3.5 hours. My kidney shut down. My liver enzyme went to pot. I was gone. And I remember going through a tunnel. And I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. As I got to the end of the tunnel, 3 people were there to meet me, who was very close to me. One was my grandpa, one was my grandma, and one was a dear uncle of mine. It was my mother's brother. And I'll tell you what, that is the most beautiful place I have ever been. It's white, very, very loving, just like Brad said. You cannot feel an unconditional love like you can feel there. As I started walking away with my grandpa, my grandma, and my uncle, some guy, I have no idea who it was, I could just remember seeing his face, and he walked over to me and he says, it's not yet your time. And that was his exact words, not yet your time, you got to go back. I didn't want to go back. I wanted to stay right with my grandpa and grandma and my uncle and see the rest of my family that was up there. And as I came back, that was the most excruciating pain I ever felt. Some people say that the pain hits when you, or your spirit leaves your body. Not mine. I was gone probably for 2 or 3 minutes at the most. I kind of woke up in my hospital room. The doctor was in my room. The doctor says, "We lost you." I said, "I know you did. There's no doubt in my mind." He says, "We were ready to do CPR, and we were ready to start your heart." He says, "The only thing that saved you was there's 2 units of blood that went into you." He says, "The first unit of blood went into you on the operating room. The second unit of blood's going in you now." As I looked up at the IV pole, I remember the second unit of blood going in me. Then the doctor spoke up and says, "We're inducing you into a coma." During that coma, I was in the coma for 3 days. And during that coma, I was visited by my grandpa, my grandma, and my uncle again. I knew my time was very short, but each time I got sent back. I'm LDS. They gave me a blessing that I would be recovered in my own due time. But he told me that he said that he was going to just release me that day, that night of my surgery. And I can tell you today that everything I have just said is very true. There's a movie out. I seen it. It's about a young kid that died and went to heaven. Heaven is real. If anybody has not seen that, get it. Heaven is for real. That little boy experienced the same thing I did. I saw the green, I saw the white. It's just a marvelous experience. I'm not scared to die now. Like Brad, I'm scared of the way I'm going to die. And recently I watched my dad pass away. Between them two experiences that I had, during the coma and during operation, it just changed my life forever. As I know there is people on the other side waiting for us. Brad, do you want to come up now?
You said it's a really loving place. What on earth do you do over there?
Go ahead, Brad.
Time really doesn't exist there. You know, like here you say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to do this, and next week I'm going to do that. Well, there, everything's happening all at the same time. There is no yesterday, tomorrow, or we're going to do it in a couple of minutes. Is there anything to do there? Yeah.
Yeah.
But what on earth do they do all day?
My experience is you'd be talking to other people, and you can go visit them.
Through telepathy.
Yes.
I just want to jump in here. In terms of what they do, my personal belief, and then from hearing many, many experiences, is that when we pass over to the other side, the separation between those that we have left and the where we go is really not quantum leap. We're still very much connected. And there probably have been times in your life that you know somebody has helped you, somebody's assisted you. And I think a big part of when you go to that perfected form is that you still have a connection as well as a mission to assist those that are in a mortal form. It's not like you're going to heaven or whatever you want to call it, and there's just a void of time and purpose. This is, to me, a transition. You're moving from one existence to the next. This is kind of, if you will, maybe elementary or preschool. Then you graduate to a higher level, but you still have a responsibility to kind of help your classmates and those that you're connected to behind.
Brad, you indicated when you looked down before you entered the tunnel that you realized you didn't have a body. What did you see? Would you describe that? And would you describe your body too, Gary, what you were aware of?
Sure. Personally? Go ahead, Brad, first.
I looked down and I didn't see anything at all. Nothing. And I thought that was interesting. But I knew, but I was me. And I could see everything. I knew everything. When I first saw that, it startled me. But before I could even have the fear of why I'm not falling down, because I'm in this void, that's when God put his arms around me and told me that it was him. You look at things differently in a spirit form than you do down here. It's a totally different experience. You know you're you. In fact, you know this is really you. When I came back here, I mean, it was like, this seemed like the dream. You know, like when you actually fall asleep, you have a dream and you wake up, oh, here's reality. That's reality. This is the dream. Totally different. Mm-hmm. Completely different.
When I left, I looked down I could see everything in 3D. I saw my body laying on the operating table, and someone said, come to me. And that's when I went through that light, you know, through the tunnel of light. That's all I could remember is me laying on the operating table and the doctors standing around, and I left. Everything from this earth to the what we call heaven, it's, I don't know what to say, you know, in the Bible, Christ developed, you know, created the earth in 7 days. Well, that's actually 1,000 years in Christ's time, you know. And it's actually faster than it is down here.
But it's real. It's more real than it is here. Completely different.
This is for Brad. You mentioned when you, during your experience, that you, at one point or another, sensed or saw other, what you termed souls. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on what you meant by that and what you saw or felt, and if it was just a fleeting thing or what.
No, it was very strong. When I was flying with my friends, I remember looking over to my right. Now, this is what's interesting. I look over to my left. I know there's two of them there. I look over to my right. I know there's three of them there. I really don't see them per se, but they're there. They're just there because everyone is a part of each other. And when your lights merge, you know that person. You know everything about them, and everything is accepting. And that's after I went through the tunnel. But before I did, when I looked down, I knew, I just sensed that there were spirits. And I remember sensing the spirits of animals. I just remember, over on the right, I just remember this so well, the spirits of animals. I couldn't see them, but I knew they were there. It's hard to explain. There's senses that your spirit has that you don't have here. And it's so hard to explain, isn't it?
It is. It's very hard because, like Brad said, he saw the animals. I could feel them there.
Yet I didn't see them, but I felt them.
Yeah, I could feel them too. I mean, you know, you're thinking, okay, is that my pet that I had when I was growing up? You know, is that my dog? Is that my cat?
Gary, why do you think you got sent back?
That is a hard question. I think I got sent back because my life was not yet over, and so there's more trials and tribulations I had to go through. And I don't want to go through them.
Gary, what were the conversations between you and your grandfather, grandmother, and uncle? What did you talk about when they came to see you?
It's kind of hard to say because we talked about a lot of things. We talked about earth life and what we did. It was probably 4 days after my uncle passed away that I had a vivid dream. My grandpa and my uncle was with me that night, about 3 o'clock in the morning. I could tell you the shirt my grandpa and my uncle was both wearing. I could tell you what we were doing. My grandpa owned a ranch. My mom and my uncle was born and raised on that ranch. They both loved horses. And I love horses too. That night that they came and saw me, we were at an auction, a horse sale. And my grandpa, and this is like 3 o'clock in the morning when I had this vivid dream. And I mean, I can just tell you it's so real. But they came and we went to a horse sale. And my grandfather told me I could buy a horse and he'd pay for it. When I was talking to my grandpa and grandma and my uncle up there, it was talking about horses and the ranch and cows and everything that we'd done down here. It was so real.
Well, I think that everything has a spirit. I believe that the wood and the trees and things that we have, all God has to say is, I'd like you to make yourself into this table. And because it loves him so much, they just do whatever it is that he requests of them out of love. And he's trying to teach us to love him enough to Toby his commandments. And if we want to avoid sorrow and misery, we need to follow his direction. He just wants to make us like him. And we want to be there by him. We want to be like him. And I think that everything that we have in this world, when Heavenly Father creates things, it does it out of love for him. And I believe that when he creates worlds, he doesn't take one piece at a time. He takes all these different things and puts them all together. And I think that's why we have so many different geological ages in our rocks and things here on Earth.
He's very versatile.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, very versatile.
You know, it just, and it does it because out of love.
Oh, yeah. In fact, a lot of people ask, what is the secret of life? It's love.
So I'm a nurse and trained in CPR, and I have a question for both of you. I know that a paramedic and a doctor would, there's just no hesitation when you don't have a heartbeat, you immediately start CPR. There's just, it's very, very detrimental to wait at all. And I believe that, Brad, I know you said that he said you were dead for 2 minutes, and I think you both said that they didn't have to start CPR yet. You'd both been dead for a period. Even of just standing around waiting a minute would be detrimental. So can you elaborate, or did I misunderstand something with that?
Well, he was partying too. I thought maybe I just passed out. And then he starts feeling my pulse, and he said it's about 2 minutes. He says, is how long this took. And finally, he says, he's dead. He says, I got to start CPR. And that's when I came back.
And that's the same way with me. The doctor, he just thought I was gone. And he didn't really start CPR because I was still opened up. So he figured I was gone. And then when I came back, that's when they put me back together, stapled my stomach. And I asked the doctor, I said, why didn't you start CPR? And he says, because we figured that you needed some time just to lay there. And he's a good surgeon, but he says, I just felt that I didn't need to. Because he says, I figured you was coming back. And that's why they put the 2 units of blood in me to get me going again.
Coming back, how has your life changed than what it was before? Your work wasn't done. And obviously you made some mention of, yeah, I had a lot of trials and stuff that I'm still going through. But how's your life changed because of these experiences?
My life has changed because I know what I need to do to get my life prepared to be with God again. Like the guy said, it's not yet your time. You got to go back. I believe there is a time that you, when you're called, you're going to be gone and you're not going to come back. Just like when my dad passed away, I knew that it was his time. And it took him almost 4 days to go, but from the time I got the phone call.
You said you know what you've got to do. Did you know what you needed to do before you had this experience?
No.
But because of the experience, now you know what you've got to do.
Yes.
To prepare for that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of near-death experience books, and I think God put us on this earth, and every one of us have gifts. And I think in music, and you talk about love, you can show love with music. I'm a dancer, and I show love with my dancing. And I feel, she asked what you do up there, and I really actually feel you take your gifts and you teach, and I feel like there is, the books I've read said there's music up there. So I feel like if you're a singer, you're a dancer, and that you take those gifts with you.
You do.
And I'm a musician.
So you'll be taking your musician.
So I'll be taking my gifts with me.
For Gary?
Yes.
Do you still have your wife and 2 children?
No, I don't. We later got divorced. I do have my daughter. My son died at the age of 19, just 6 years ago.
Aww.
So it was a great reunion between my dad and my son.
Well, I've heard that after a situation like you had, or you had, Brad, that it's hard to come back and live a normal life. Is that why you divorced?
No, no.
Okay.
That's not why.
Another question. I lost my first granddaughter to a car accident when she was 9. She'd be 27 now. What is she doing? Did you have a chance to look it around and see what was happening in heaven?
Go for it, Brad.
Well, again, there's a lot of things that God prevented me from remembering. He didn't want to make my life too easy. But I need to learn a lot of things on my own. And I know a lot of people say, do you know what your purpose is? Do you know why you were sent back? At the moment, I really didn't. I really didn't know. But a lot of years have passed by, you know, since I was 18 years old. And I've had a lot of little time-released things. Little memories come back. Talking to people there, the only person I remember actually talking with was God.
It is difficult to explain, but there is a time, you know, you can look around and see other people all over, and you want to go meet and greet. I wanted to go see my ancestors that's gone before me, but I never did get the chance. At least I got to see my grandpa and grandma and my uncle. Them three people were the closest ones to me. I never got to see my grandpa and grandma Burton had it passed away. There is a sense where you want to go and visit other people, but you can't because the time is going so fast and you don't have enough time to see everything when you want to see everything.
I think God gives you an experience just so that you can come back and tell people, hey, you know, there is something after this life. There's and it's real.
Hi, thank you for both of you. Are so wonderful to hear your stories. But I was also thinking we are all so connected, and we've learned through a lot of the stories that we've heard that you bring back gifts for us to share with us. What are some of the gifts that you brought back for us?
Oh, you know, I'm not sure on that one.
Knowledge?
I got the knowledge of people that I know there's a kind of like a life after death situation. And you get to see things that you never get to see while you're here, unless you do have a near-death experience.
Yeah, there's something about when you come back, we both have a little rip in our veil. It's like we have this instant connection with God.
Exactly.
That we didn't have before. And I like to say, a little rip in my veil. I'm sure he can see his tunnel, his experience, everything, right now. As I can. I can see it right now in my mind's eye. I can see my tunnel. I can see everything.
See, I can still see my grandpa and grandma and my uncle dressed all in white.
The question is, now that you've had this experience that's been so profound and so amazing, what fundamentally has changed for you being back in your body and living your life? There's got to be some fundamental shift. I'm just curious about that.
There is. For me, being back in my body, I know that my body will be healed to a perfect body. The other thing that I know that I cannot deny is that I was spoken to. And that fundamental, just the knowledge, being that thin of a veil, because I know the veil is really thin, and where we got to go through that veil, you know, that fundamental and that knowledge is just unbelievable.
You mentioned that as you went through the tunnels and on the right, that you felt the presence of all these animals, like...
Souls. Different souls. And I thought, I think about that now and I think, this is supposed to be a personal experience. Why are there other souls out there?
And I've heard this before.
You don't know why.
I've heard another individual who had a near-death experience, and as a result of the souls, the animals who went through the tunnel with him, he became a vegetarian. Any thoughts?
Yeah. The funny thing about that, I'm a meat lover too, Brad, and the doctor...
I might go get a hamburger after this.
The doctor, when he finally got done talking to me and everything, and I was in the hospital room. I was in the hospital for a whole month, a month and 2 weeks. During that month, when I could start eating again, I asked the doctor, I said, what about red meat? And the doctor says, no, you're done. There will be no more red meat in your diet. And about 2 years after that, this surgeon couldn't take care of me anymore. So he sent me to a gastroenterologist in Idle Falls, Idaho. And that doctor says, Gary, what's your favorite food? And I said, steak and potatoes. Gary, go have a steak and potatoes tonight, will you? Red meat is not going to affect your Crohn's disease. And so ever since then, I've been, taking my time, or every chance I have a steak and potatoes and gravy.